Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis 32, verses 22 to 32. The same night he got up and took his two wives, two maids, and 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket as the thigh muscle. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Last week, I had the great privilege of traveling to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where Rita Brock and I were invited to speak on moral injury at the Remind and Renew Conference for faculty, students, and alumni of Phillips Theological Seminary. But we were not the only speakers of that event. My good friend and dean of the seminary, Dr. Lisa Davison, is a Hebrew Bible scholar who spoke about seeking wisdom and understanding in troubled times. She spent most of her lectures on the stories of Genesis and Shalom. Needless to say, since I'm in the process of reading through the Bible, I was in those stories, those narratives in Genesis. And of course, as we were looking at this theme of Shalom, my interest was piqued indeed by her lectures. One of the narratives that she reflected on was the story we just heard of Jacob wrestling with someone, a man, or maybe an angel, or maybe God, before his 22-year delayed reckoning with his brother Esau. But what really caught my religious imagination during that lecture was a single statement Dr. Davison said about this encounter as being a time of wrestling not only with some mysterious figure, but also perhaps with Jacob himself. Have you ever wrestled with God and with yourself in the middle of the night? As we consider what shalom, peace with self, means, I would like to invite you to join me in prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you this day that we come just as we are to you. And we need to hear a word. We need to hear a word today from you about our lives with you, about peace and shalom and wholeness, and how we can have that with ourselves. And so I pray, oh God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts as we open ourselves more fully to you might reflect your will and your way for our life together and as individual followers of Jesus the Christ. All these things we pray in his name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 30, just a couple of chapters before our reading today, we learn that Leah, Rachel, and their maids produced 11 healthy sons and one daughter to Jacob. Jacob asks Laban's permission, that's his father-in-law slash uncle, to return to his country with his family, and then he sends messengers to his estranged brother Esau. Now, y'all might remember why these twins, Jacob and Esau, are estranged from each other, right? Jacob, whose name means heel grabber, supplanter, deceiver, or trickster, not only bought Esau's birthright for a bowl of stew, and Esau must have been mighty, mighty hungry to have agreed to that kind of arrangement, but he also stole Esau's blessing from their father Isaac. With the help of their mother, Rebekah, Jacob disguised himself and tricked Isaac into blessing him as the firstborn. Esau was actually the firstborn. You remember the story, Jacob's holding on to his heel as they're coming out. So anyway, when he finds out what has happened, Esau threatens to kill Jacob, which causes Jacob to flee. So now it's 22 years later. And if you've read the story, you'll know that Jacob the deceiver becomes the deceived, right? By multiple people in his life, but mostly from his father slash uncle Laban. And ultimately, Jacob decides that it's time to go home. But as he gets closer to Canaan, he is still struggling about how he can control the situation with Esau. And so what does he do? He sends loads of presents, and sends messengers to his brother. But when the messengers return, they say that Esau is riding to meet his brother, all right, but he has 400 men with him. Now, that sounds pretty ominous, doesn't it? And Jacob is fearful. Who wouldn't be? Especially as he remembers, like it was yesterday, Esau's last words of murderous threat. So what does Jacob do? He sends his family and all that he has in front of him, placing them between him and Esau. Now, is he still calculating here, or is Jacob just a total coward? All we know is that he's on the far side of the Jabbok River, alone with his fears. He's in a pickle for sure. And that's where our text for today picks up. In verse 24, we read, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Okay, so which is it? Is Jacob alone? Or is somebody there with him? Was it a dream that he had? Was it a metaphor for his fear? Was it his brother Esau? Was it an angel, or was it God? The text itself never really gives us the identity of the man. And maybe the man's identity is not the point of the story at all. So let's look again at the story and narrative and see what we learn from it. Probably one of the first things we notice is that the encounter left Jacob wounded, right? When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, we don't know if this injury is permanent, but the text notes that Jacob was limping as he left that place. The encounter left its mark, a remnant that Jacob carried away with him. The other intriguing thing that we learned from the encounter was that Jacob did not give up the fight. The man did. He won that match by refusing to let go. And as Dr. Beth Tanner suggests, life can be like that sometimes. Things happen that cannot be rationalized or easily understood. We survive, she says, by nothing more elegant than not giving up. One of my sheroes in my life is my sister Barbara, who's been widowed now for 7 years. Barbara had never lived alone in her entire life until Ed died in 2017. But over these 7 years, she has progressed from moving through the days of simply forcing herself to get up and get dressed to figuring out how to both honor her grief and continue wrestling with the mystery over what her life is and will be. Most of us have seasons in our lives where we also fight with the mysteries of life. And as I said earlier, we do not know if Jacob's injury was permanent, but the text notes that he was still limping when he left. And so it is with us. We carry the injuries of our struggles with mystery. Every loss, every divorce, every cancer diagnosis, every death of somebody we love, it all leaves its mark on us. And like Jacob, we leave with a limp or maybe a scar. And sometimes, like Jacob, we wrestle. All we can do is hang on. Like the text, the identity of the mystery is not needed because we understand that the struggle is with life, with ourselves, and with God. Jacob struggles alone that night. And our struggles are often like that too. We can and should share our burdens and our fears with each other, but ultimately, each of us must come to terms with the mystery of God and life for ourselves. I have a friend who was a member of a church I served in Alabama. Her name was Paula, and she wrote something recently on Facebook about her spiritual journey that was quite powerful. It was about discernment. She explained that the first time she'd ever encountered that word, discernment, was in a class that my husband Ron taught on spiritual gifts. Paula discovered that she had this spiritual gift of discernment. However, she really couldn't grasp that at the time because of her own self-awareness, lack of self-awareness, I should say. But 20 years later, with the help of a therapist, Paula faced her struggles, all of those things that she could not see her way to overcome, when she realized that finding peace in her life was through letting go of the false narrative that she was hopeless and bad, and instead holding fast to God's grace while learning from her mistakes and making the choices that are necessary for leaning into the life that God offers her. And it was through her tenacity to face her struggle, to wrestle with herself and with God, that Paula received the blessing of peace. At daybreak, Jacob refused to let go until he was blessed. And you remember what the man said? He said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven or struggled with God and with humans and have prevailed." Now let's think about that for just a minute. When we think about the word Israel as a noun or as a name, it's there, but it also means so much more. Because the word is not only for Jacob or for a nation, but for all of us. Being Israel means that we are to grab the mystery of God and to hang on even when we are tired or in pain or have doubts. We must fight for the relationship we share with God sometimes. Sometimes that means a confrontation with God. Sometimes that means telling God we're angry with God. And we can tell God we don't understand how the world works. But by being honest with God and with ourselves, you and I, struggling to hang on in the mysterious times of our lives, when the world or God's methods or God's kingdom don't make sense, we still are called to hold on. Finding peace with ourselves and with God sometimes requires work and perseverance. It doesn't just come to us by osmosis, y'all. It requires something of us. And here's what I want us to know deep in our bones, that faith is not just a gift from God. Faith is a lifelong pursuit of God for us and a pursuit of us for God. We may never have the complete answers to our questions, but in the struggle, we hang on to faith and God, and we become somehow stronger. We grow, we're nourished, and we find peace, shalom, and wholeness. Now, as you know, we live in a culture that celebrates winners, those that defeat the other. Winners appear to defeat their doubts and losses, but the truth is, these wins are a deception in life. Because often, all you and I can do is hold on. We cannot defeat grief and heartbreak. They will always leave their mark. Instead, we must be like Jacob and refuse to let go of God until a blessing provides new insights that will once again transform us. And I want to say this, that this process happens over and over and over again in our lives. So once we receive that peace with ourselves, we may need to go struggle with God a little bit more down the road. But that peace will come as we hold on. Because just as God fights for us, sometimes we must fight our questions and doubts and pain and refuse to let go until we are blessed enough to continue our journey with God. Today, if we dare, we can lift up and even celebrate our struggle for a relationship with God and the mysteries of life as we remember that God does not give up on us, and it is our job not to give up on God. Because having peace for ourselves is not an absence of struggle. You know, life is difficult. It always has been. It is always going to be. And Jacob was far from perfect. In fact, if you keep reading his story, you're going to see some more stuff that he deals with. But in the midst of his fear in this situation, he refused to give up on his faith in God. And as a result, there was a blessing for him, a new name, a new life. No longer would he be known as deceiver, trickster, supplanter, heel grabber, but rather by the name Israel, one who prevails with God. So here's my question. Wherever you are in your life this morning, will you hang on as you wrestle with yourself and with God? I've been doing a lot of hanging on recently. In the middle of the night, wrestling with God, struggling with God, asking God, show me your will and way. Give me faith. Give me peace. Will you do that? And allow the peace of God to prevail in you. Let go of the false narratives. Let go of saying how bad you are. You're unworthy of God's love. Because the truth is, you are beloved. You are beloved by God. So be honest with yourself and with God and hold on for your blessing of peace. Because I promise you, it's coming. It's coming. And the people of God said, amen and amen. All right, so wrestling. I had to ask, my husband Ron was a wrestler in high school. And Myrna was over last night. We got out the old yearbooks. Old yearbooks. Some of the pages were stuck together. But anyway, he's on the wrestling team in high school. And I asked Ron about what, I didn't know what wrestling was about. So apparently there are three rounds, 2 minutes apiece. And the goal is to pin your opponent, the two shoulders of your opponent down on the floor and hold them there. And Ron said that in those 2 minute segments, it was like an eternity. It was so hard. It was so draining emotionally as well as physically. But that's what wrestling is about. So I just wanted you to see that picture. That's not of Ron, but it's of his team members being involved in that. That came from the yearbook. And then also yesterday, I was up here. We were having the medical clinic that we partner with University of Kentucky and Northern Kentucky University's medical program. And so students come and they not give treatment, but they do evaluations and that kind of thing for people who need it. And there was a group of people from our shower ministry that were waiting to be seen. And I came in because I was looking, I wanted to say hi. This was my second time in, actually. I was looking for a prop. I was looking for something because Pastor Diana did such a great job with her flowers last week. And I went to go look at those, and they're pretty done. So couldn't use them again. But anyway, I wanted to go forage in the supply room. And one of our shower guests, Nate, came in with me. And so I said, I'm just looking around for something. And we began to have a conversation, and I told him about the story for today of Jacob wrestling and us trying to find peace with self. And so anyway, I asked Nate, I said, I know that your life is hard. And I said, how do you find peace? Where do you find peace? And Nate said, well, he said, I like to be around trees. Trees give me a sense of peace. I love how they smell. When something falls off a tree, I can take and I do woodworking. So I love the smell that comes with that and what I can be creative with. And it really gives me a sense of connection with God and with the earth and that kind of thing. And as he's telling me this story, his eyes open up. He says, I know what you need to use today. And I said, what? And he goes, that. And if you're up close enough to see it, you'll see that this is a cross that has bark on it. And Nate said, tell him my story, but also I think that's what you need to have. And so Sam and he brought that in yesterday. And I share that with you because two reasons. One is I learn all the time from others, and I learned some things from Nate yesterday. It's also a reminder that whether Jesus was a stonemason or a woodworker like Nate, that he met something in this cross that is here. And as I was thinking also about the last night of his life, how Jesus wrestled deeply with God and with himself. And, you know, you think about what he experienced at the table as his disciples are falling apart and he's telling them they're all going to leave him, deny him, betray him, leave him alone. And then when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he sweated drops like blood. You don't think that man was wrestling? You don't think that man was wrestling with his faith? And he wrestled until he received the blessing, not my will, but your will be done. And he was able to face what he faced. And so as you come to the communion table today, I want to invite you to consider where you are in your life. Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with God? If you're not, as you come forward to receive these symbols of God's love for you, hold on. Hold on. On and know that the blessing is coming for you. Let's prepare ourselves as we sing our song of praise together. Will you please stand?